We want to understand, why is it that every one of us dies? What is it? What's the one thing that guarantees that death awaits all of us, that we sit in life's departure lounge? We see from Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. What we get paid for, what is guaranteed for us to earn because of sin, is death. And of course, we can read more about that in Genesis 3, why that is the case. But to understand, let me try and illustrate why that is the case. So basically, all of us are like a mobile phone or a laptop or a tablet. But in order for it to work, we plug it in to a power source. While it's plugged in, it will never fail. It will never run out. What we do, what's inherent in our human nature, is we think, you know what? I don't need an external power source. And we unplug ourselves from God. And we think that our battery will last forever. We think, all right, God, I don't need you. You're the source of life. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to unplug myself from you. And eventually, our battery, just like this mobile phone, will drain out and die. That's what we do when we sin. When we sin, we say, I don't need you, God. I've got it from here. And we all do that. That's why each of us dies. But death is not the end. Death is not the end of the road. Don't take my word for it. We're going to see the Bible teaches us that. But even Gandalf agrees with that. See what? Of course, Tolkien knew what he was writing about. But death, we see, is not the end. How do we know death is not the end? Hebrews 9, verse 27, clearly tells us, just as people are destined to die once, we know that, that's guaranteed for everyone. Just as people are destined to die once, and after that, to face judgment. This is what Gandalf, not quite alluding to, but this is what we're talking about. Death is not the end point. There's something else that happens after death. And this is what we want to understand. Of course, we see it's judgment. What is judgment? Well, the judgment that we face is that when we die, we give an account for our life. We give an account for our life. And so we're going to be judged at that point. And what's the only two results, girls, from a judgment? There's only two options from a judgment. What are they? What's another word? Not for free. You're either something or you're not something. That's right. You're either guilty or not guilty. That's the only two options. That's the only ever two options from a judgment. And so here we start to understand the two destinations. The guilty go one way and the not guilty go a different way. But what are those destinations? Of course, the Bible tells us. Matthew 25, verse 46. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. And in Daniel 12, what we're going through in the morning, Daniel 12, verse 2. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. So we see there's a huge difference in these two destinations. Of course, we're talking about heaven and hell. And the Bible is clear on this. And we might be thinking, what's that? Fairly mild, pleasant Sunday evening. Why are we talking about heaven and hell? Why are we talking about hell? Such a horrible thing to be talking about. No one wants to discuss hell. We just want to hear the good news. Of course, that's always the argument. And people always say, well, Jesus never talked about hell. Jesus talked about hell almost more than anything else when he was here. It's nearly all he talked about. Because if we leave out the reality of hell, then there's no reality of heaven. There can be no good news without the bad news. Without knowing about hell, we wouldn't strive to want to hear the good news or to be part of it. And therefore it wouldn't be loving of any Christian never to talk about heaven and hell. Never to let people aware of what awaits them. These two destinations. These two destinations are clear. Nothing could be more cruel than to let someone think that they're going to paradise when they're not. We want people to know what's at stake. We want to make sure people are on the right plane. One is clearly better than the other. One destination is clearly better than the other. And so as we're seeing in some of those passages, what determines the plane we get on when we die, whether we go to heaven or hell, depends on the verdict we get at the point of death when we're judged. We're either guilty or not guilty. And here we see the biggest issue facing mankind. Because that judgment is not done in like we see in the law courts in this country or some other countries. It's not done on balance. It's nothing to do with beyond the reasonable doubt. Our lives aren't weighed up and God says, well, you know what, on balance you've done mostly good. God's judgment, because he's a holy, perfect God, to be in his presence demands perfection. And that's why this is the biggest problem mankind faces, because no one is perfect. No one can survive that judgment. By default, by the fact that we're human nature, we are sinful. And if we left it there, that would be horrible news, wouldn't it? On the basis that no one makes it to heaven, no one is perfect, no one can get a not guilty charge. And this is why we have good news. This is why the gospel is good news. Can't have the good news without the bad. We see in that Romans 6 verse, Romans 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death. And this is why the gospel is so good, because it doesn't just hang it there on bad news. That verse goes on to say, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. Because Romans 8, verse 1, if you're in Christ, you cannot be condemned. If you're in Christ, we'll look at that in a minute. What's it mean to be in Christ? If you're in Christ, you cannot be condemned. You are guaranteed not guilty. And we've seen these two verses, it's all about Jesus. And that verse that we looked at, first one, Hebrews 9, verse 27, just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, there's the bad news. Verse 28 goes on to say, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. And this is the key thing. This is about what it means to be in Christ. Christ is going to come back to take the sins away of many, not all. And those who are waiting for him are the ones who will find salvation. What's it mean to be waiting for him? How does that happen? Well, simply, it means that you have declared that Jesus is your Lord and Saviour. Romans 10, verse 9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is the Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's as simple as that. These aren't just words. What it means is that if you believe that Jesus is your Lord because he's God, and the fact that he was raised from the dead in order to save you, then you will be saved. And to wait on Jesus means to have that saving relationship with him. It means that you've repented of your sins. You're now trusting in Jesus. And you're following him and obeying him. You're acknowledging that you need Jesus more than anything else in the universe. And this is why it's key to understand. It's all about Jesus. Because no one gets on that plane to heaven unless they have a saving relationship with Jesus. John 14 verse 6, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Basically what he's saying, and normally when we get on the plane, you go on these skywalks, don't you? I don't know why they're called skywalks, but these extendable ramps that go out to the plane, that's the only way onto a plane, normally. When we understand what Jesus is saying through this illustration, what he's saying is, there's no skywalk, there's no other way onto the plane, going to heaven, unless we go through Jesus. Unless we have a saving relationship with Jesus. That's what he's saying. There's no other way to board that plane to paradise. If we're not sure where we're going, there's still time to make sure we know. There's still time to turn to Jesus and ask for forgiveness, to trust in him, to walk with him, to obey him, and to get to know him through the Bible and through a faithful church. And we might think that we've already booked our flight on that, or we might be thinking about booking our flight with Jesus. So we want to know, what will that look like? How do I know if I'm there? How can I be sure? And it all depends on whether you're willing to stand out as a follower of Jesus. This is effectively what Jesus is saying in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. He says, enter through the narrow gate. Here we are, going through the single point of entry. Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. What Jesus is saying is that to get on the plane that's not going to heaven is dead easy. And it's a nice, easy, broad path. And most people are walking that way. And it's so easy just to get swept up in that. So one of the ways to know, am I going on the plane that Jesus is piloting, is to ask ourselves, do I feel like I'm following the world? Or do I feel like I'm following the Bible? Do I feel like my life is in sync with most other people in the world? Or does it feel like I'm walking against the current, against the grain? Do I find myself putting on the news or daytime soaps? And do I find myself agreeing with everything they're saying? Or does it really grate with me? Do we look at the world and think something is not right? Or do we look at the world and just think it just needs a bit more money put in here and there? To be on the narrow path is to understand that the world is not right. To be on the narrow path, the difficult one, is to be bold in telling people, no, I'm a Christ follower. To be on the narrow path means that no matter how small, you have a desire to learn more about Jesus and to follow him. To be on the narrow path, on the right path, means to know that there's nothing that the world can offer that can compare to what's to come in the life after this. There's only two options when we die. Only two options. One sounds horrible. One is beyond our imagination. What the Bible's clear is that to be on that plane to paradise means we have to go through Jesus. Jesus is what we pursue more than anything else. We all come to that point. We will all sit in that lounge. And either Jesus is going to walk us onto the plane, or we're going to take ourselves onto the wrong plane. Let me pray. Lord, we do indeed thank you that even though we are inherently sinful, and we previously had no desire to follow you or walk with you, we thank you that because of your grace, Lord, that you have turned our hearts to you, our minds to you. And Lord, you're slowly changing our desires and our wants so that they're in sync with you and not in with a world that has rejected you as Lord. Father, as we walk more closely with you, would you give us that greater assurance, that confident, sure hope that we will be with you no matter what. And therefore, Lord, we don't need to fear death. We don't need to fear what happens. We don't need to be uninformed about what happens. We can live our lives now confidently for you in a way that persuades other people to follow you, to turn to you, so they can have that same sure hope that we do. Amen.